This episode of Nintendo Dads is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as a dollar a month, even you, yes, you, right there, I'm pointing at you, you can join us and contribute to some amazing Nintendo Dads parenting video game extravaganza coverage. How many words can I throw in there? Awesome. Seriously, even a dollar a month is very appreciated and goes towards making this awesome stuff for you guys. So thank you to those who donate. You're the best. Welcome to Nintendo. Welcome.
Wow.
Take three.
Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode number 66. On tonight's episode, we have Cass Lush from Nintendo Nuggets and Gaming Docs to talk all about Fire Emblem and the leak thing and Pokemon. This is the second time I've done this intro, so I'm just going to go ahead and cue the music. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is February 24th, 2016. Joining me tonight for the second time we've done this intro, actually, is Jesse Waldeck. What's going on tonight, Jesse?
How many takes does it take to get to the center of the show?
Hopefully just two. Hopefully two. Justin, you leave, and my computer gives us blue screen of death. Screw you, Microsoft. That is how I feel about this. Joining us as well, of course, as I said, is Cass Lush from NintendoNuggets.com and Gaming Docs on YouTube. What's going on, Cass? Hello?
Nothing much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, right on.
Hello.
Yeah, and of course, like we...
Sorry.
I think we might have some lag. Okay. Do we have lag? Microsoft?
I hope not.
Things sound fine from here, I think.
Okay. Right on. Well, Cass, of course, you're the one who, for our Retro Rewind stuff, you've been doing the awesome retro sort of mini documentary pieces for us. And those are amazing, for sure. And you've got all sorts of stuff on your YouTube as well, right?
Yeah. Thank you for that. Justin Masson, who's not here with us, he helped me did some voiceover work on some of my first videos. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I was just saying, rest in peace, Justin.
Oh, sorry. Because he helped me out and did
those.
Because
those who listen to Reactor Radio knows that if someone isn't on the show, they are dead.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. So he helped me out, did some voiceover work for me on some of my first videos on Gaming Docs. So whenever y'all decided to do the Patreon thing, he asked me to do it. And I make all the videos. And if you like that video, those few videos you've seen, I think we've done Link's Awakening and Wario Land 2 for the Game Boy.
Yep.
If you like those, check out Gaming Docs on YouTube. There's a bunch more videos like that. I've done the history of Mario. I'm all the way up to Mario 64 right now. There's some other history of Amiibo. A bunch of game reviews. Right now, I got a really popular video about Freeze Me for the Wii U. Check that out. And then also go to NintendoNuggets.com for all your Nintendo news.
Right on, dude.
I help run that site, too.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show, man. Without Justin here, we are down a man, and so we appreciate you coming to help us.
Yeah, we saw what happened 2 weeks ago when it's only a two-man show.
Yeah, that just doesn't work. That just isn't going to work at all. So let's head into the news, shall we?
Do it.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks, Cass. Do it.
Yeah. Oh. There we go. Justin, we don't need you. You hear that? We don't.
The joke was, since that got destroyed, was Zach suggested I fill that role. And yeah. And I forgot about it already.
Yeah, that's why.
And I'm probably going to forget about it.
That's why we need the third chair, man. That's why we've got him. That's why we've got Cass here to keep us right. So it's a little bit of a slow news week. Jesse, you've said that, before the show that it is going to be all the news is coming on Friday. We're not going to do anything extra, are we? I kind of don't have time to do.
No, it's a lousy time.
It's like 8 in the morning my time. I think
it's 9 o'clock my time. I'll be in the middle of working. So won't be able to do any live react videos like we like to do.
Yeah.
We'll have some coverage on Nintendo Nuggets. So if anybody wants to see some stuff on it.
Yeah, Friday, and I think I'll probably check out NintendoNuggets.com. Maybe what we'll do is stay tuned to Twitter, and we will maybe have some Periscope stuff immediately after or around then. I don't know. I might be able to get on there. We shall see. But
I'm sure Roger is going to put up a video really quick.
I'm sure he'll probably
about his reaction,
and I'm sure he'll probably cry in it too.
at least twice.
I'm going to call it now. He's going to cry
twice.
Twice. And we'll get to that in a minute too. But before we do, I just have a couple of other news stories. Actually, you know what? Let's just talk about the Pokemon Direct now, because we've already kind of talked about it. Pokemon Direct coming this Friday. Friday morning, it's at 7 a.m. Eastern, or no, 7 a.m. Pacific. And we don't really know what it is. They haven't said anything other than Pokemon Direct. What do you guys think is, what's coming? Like, let's have a little speculation time.
Gotta be a new Pokemon game.
You think they're going to announce? I think that is the smartest thing for them to do, is with everybody going out to game stores and everything on the Saturday, the absolute best thing they could do is announce a brand new Pokemon game the day before and have all that excitement.
So you think it's going to be, they're going to announce it and then it's going to be available?
No, I don't think, no, oh, I don't okay. think that. I just think that to have that excitement around a new announcement, it would be electrifying for everybody to go out the next day to their GameStops or whatever they're doing. You know, there's like Pokemon Day at GameStop, and they have like a bunch of stuff, you know, that they're selling and whatever. But the day after, having it be the day that the Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow are released on the eShop, like all of that combined, I think is a really good way for them to, you know, for everybody to be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, and for them to release that game the same day, or the announcement the day before, I think would be huge. I definitely think that's what they should do, is announce it that day or on Friday.
What I hope they don't do is spend a lot of time talking about the games that are going to be released Friday, the Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow.
Because, yeah.
I mean, we kind of already know that. So I hope that, because it's not, directs aren't that long. So I hope
I'm sure they'll get a lot touch on it, but I don't think they'll give more than 5 minutes on it.
Yeah.
I imagine they also will talk more about Pokemon Go.
Oh, that's another possibility. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, maybe they'll talk about Pokemon Go. They'll talk about, what if they, that seems like
Detective Pikachu.
Pokemon, see, now you're saying things and I'm like, maybe they aren't going to talk about this new game. They probably should, though. So they talk about Detective Pikachu, Pokemon Go, the new Pokemon game, and Pokken Tournament. Like, they've got a lot of stuff that they could fill time with. You know what I mean? Like,
Video Game Guru is predicting Pokemon Zed.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's like Pokemon Zed, something like that. Or just a Todd, or, and then we'll come back to this in the next story or in a minute here, but Pokemon Rainbow. What do you guys
think? So Pokemon Zed, I think would be, I'm willing is to bet actually
that what they're going to do is talk a lot about
likely. Because, you know, the next season of the anime is called Pokemon XYZ.
Is it really?
Yes. And that starts up this weekend next weekend. It starts up soon.
Yeah. What were you saying, Cass?
Sorry. I think my computer skipped, so I didn't know he was talking. No worries. I'm willing to bet a lot of the time goes to Pokken Tournament, but they might talk a little bit about the amiibo thing. Because isn't there going to be amiibo capabilities in that game?
There is a... All they've said so far is
they don't really know much about.
Yeah, they've said that there's the Shadow Mewtwo card, which essentially unlocks a sort of unlockable character at the beginning of the game,
which can be unlocked without the card.
Eventually. It's kind of like in Super Mario Maker, where you can unlock the amiibo costumes eventually on your own, but the amiibo unlocks it for you quicker. That's the closest thing I can think of. But other than that, I think there is a way to use a lot of other amiibo too, but I'm not sure what that functionality is yet. I think I may have seen it somewhere. I'll look it up. But I think they could spend a lot of time with that. They could also come out and say, oh, by the way, there's going to be a line of amiibo cards for this game, or there's going to be a line of amiibo cards coming with Pokemon Zed. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like
VG Guru says that the new anime started last week.
Mm-hmm. It says, the official, the amiibo website says Pokken Tournament amiibo features. Tap the Shadow Mewtwo card to the Wii U gamepad controller to unlock Shadow Mewtwo. And also compatible with all amiibo accessories, unlocking in-game items. So, like, think Hyrule Warriors is kind of what I'm thinking with that.
You'll get a rupee.
Yeah. Congratulations. 5 gold. I don't know. But so we think give me order of probability of things they will talk about, like on a scale of 1 to 10, the virtual console releases, I think guaranteed they'd talk about those. Guaranteed they talk about Pokken Tournament.
That comes out like what, mid March?
Yeah. Yeah, like I went and put my
2 weeks after?
In. Yeah, like the 18th or something like that. So I think 3 weeks after this announced, like 3 weeks from now. What else? Is there anything else that is, so we got Pokemon Tournament guaranteed and Virtual Console guaranteed. What do you think, Pokemon Go? What percentage chance would you say? Did they talk about it?
I'll give it a pretty high percentage.
Mid to high, 50 to 70.
Yeah. Do you think it's, I think if they talk, do you think that they would talk about both Pokemon Go and Pokemon Zed? Or sorry, wow, that was a Canadian slip right there. Pokemon Z.
That's great. I've been saying Zed the whole time.
Have you really?
Yeah, I think they would, but I think if they also include Detective Pikachu in that, then they may hold off on the later.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to talk about Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I think that one has the lowest probability.
You think so? Because that seems like if they talk about it, it could be released very quickly.
But it's not. I mean, we haven't heard anything that it's coming here, have we?
Right.
Well, it just released in Japan 2 weeks ago, and I, even though it was a short game, I think it needs a little bit more time to localize.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially if they get Danny DeVito to be the voice actor.
I've heard rumors that it wouldn't be coming, so that's the only reason why I say I don't think that, but could be wrong.
We definitely haven't heard any confirmation that it's coming. I know that. I don't think they have. Confirmed that it's not coming.
And of course, we all know if they deny something, it doesn't mean anything either.
No, that's true. So we haven't heard it. I guess my point is, if they announce it, I think that it is a very quick turnaround time from announcement to release, I guess, is my point. Whether or not it actually comes, I don't know. But
Alejandro's got an idea. What's the possibility of a Pokemon Snap 2 announcement?
Oh, now you're speaking.
Or any surprise announcement.
I think that's where the Pokemon Z comes. Jesse, do you want a Pokemon Z announcement, or do you want a like next gen, like a Pokemon, or like a set Gen 7?
I'd rather just go to Gen 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's not normally what they do, but you know, though, if they don't do Snap 2, if they don't mention it this week, they're probably never going to happen, because it makes perfect sense on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work anywhere else as well as we want it to.
Yeah, that's true.
So I like the idea, but that's got to come out. If that doesn't come out soon, that's not happening.
Yeah. Agreed. Right on. So that is next Friday. Were you going to say something else, Cass?
Actually, I got a question for you guys. Which are y'all going to get the Pokemon Red, Blue, or Yellow? And if you are getting it, which one are you getting?
I am definitely going to get it. I'm torn right now. I don't.
When we first talked about this, it made it sound like we were all going to get different versions. But now I think the other two are going wishy washy on me. But what I am definitely getting Yellow.
You are definitely getting Yellow. Okay. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of debating whether or not, like, I love, like, I played Blue when I was a kid, and I'm still like 80% sure I want to play Blue, but part of me is like, well, I never really played Red version. I've never played through Red version. It's the same game, but it's with different Pokemon. Would it be interesting to play the other side of it? I'm still leaning towards going blue, though, just because of the nostalgia of having, you know, like Sandshrew and who else is a version exclusive? Vulpix. And I'm trying to rack my brain for the other ones that are exclusives. Nidoran female and not the male version. I don't know.
BGG is going yellow.
Going yellow. See, I've got an issue with the yellow version, man, because it's a different, the sprites were a different style. You know, like they copied the style of the Pokemon from the anime, and they looked better and they looked too good. Part of the charm of the original Red and Blue is that those sprites look like garbage, and I love it. Like, go and look at the original, like, Golem, for example. That guy, he looks like he's supposed to be this huge boulder, and he looks like an inflatable balloon man. It's hilarious. So
now this might be a dumb question for people Baymax that are version really one. Big. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this might be a dumb question for people that are really into Pokemon. I grew up playing blue, but I'm thinking about getting yellow because mainly color, and I never played that one. But the question is, can you like trade and stuff from red and blue to yellow?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's no difference between what Pokemon are in the game. They just look different, basically. So yeah. You should be okay. Yeah. So, the man, inflatable balloon man golem is, I think.
I said Baymax version one.
Oh, totally. Check this out. Like, I'll put it in the chat and you can see this is the. Sorry, live streamers, I'm putting it in the Skype chat because YouTube won't let me do it. But like, look at the sprite of how he's supposed to look. He just looks like a balloon man. It's weird. So anyway, yeah, right on. So Pokemon, I think we've beaten that speculation to death. So right on. Speaking of Pokemon as well, just something very quick. You can go, for those of you, I think it's just on iOS for now, but go to the App Store and search for Pokemon Photo Booth, and there's a Pokemon Photo Booth, and you can have pictures of yourself saying, a wild Jesse appeared, or something. I don't know. Congratulations for that, iOS people.
Yeah, during the BSOD break, the people in the live streams saw the little thumbnail that you sent in chat earlier, because that appeared.
Nice. Right on. Next up, we're kind of going like bottom up in the notes here, but I figure we kind of touched on this anyways. Earlier this week, there was somebody named Metal Dave. I don't know who Metal Dave is, but that's who it is. I'm looking at an article from MyNintendoNews.com. And basically it was like this leaked, I think it's supposedly their marketing budget and scheduling overview for 2016 for Nintendo leaked. I don't know if that necessarily makes sense or not. Some people, I don't know. I initially thought, oh, this is looks pretty legit. And then I slowly started saying, well, how falsifiable is some of this stuff? I don't know. Like, could you turn around and see, this game was Project N-Stars. See, and we don't really know what that means. Like, you could claim that anything was, but having said that, I still think it's fun to speculate because Nintendo hasn't told us anything, and so this is, I mean, potentially it's true. So we've got spring and early summer. We've got Mario and Sonic Rio 2016, Nintendo Selects Wave 1, Hyrule Warriors Legends, which we know, Disney Art Academy, which seems dubious. I don't know if that's a thing. Bravely Second, Codename Caviar F, and Metroid Prime Federation Force. So let's start just with that. Is there anything on this list? Like, I'm looking at Disney Art Academy seems potentially, like, that seems like a red flag to me. And Caviar F is a casual, friendly, smaller budget game for 3DS. Any thoughts on that for you guys? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Casual and eShop really don't go well together.
Oh, this is only for 3DS, by the way. This whole list is just 3DS list.
Right. 3DS, I think, as far as I know, the only people who really care about eShop are the people who kind of actually are not casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
So how are they going to market that?
Casual, friendly, smaller budget game. Do you think that's like an eShop game? Could be.
I don't know. Smaller budget kind of hints at eShop to me.
Maybe that is caviar.
Unless it's going to be a $20 cart.
You know what? Caviar F. Maybe, would you say that Detective Pikachu eats caviar? That could be
probably not.
That could be it. I'm going to say it. Confirmed right here. Caviar F is Pikachu Detective Man.
That's it. There you go.
Yep. Confirmed. Right on.
Half-Life 3 on 3DS.
I do like the idea, though, of... I think that Metroid Prime Federation Force being early spring to early summer, I think, sounds legit. Right? There's no way that game gets pushed into the second half of the year. I think that
I don't... That game does not get two E3s.
No. No way. Well, and if it does, it's like... You know, it's like...
Considering Zelda's getting its 33?
Yes, seriously. I think that game does need to come out before... If not before E3, then, like, shortly after. Somebody's got, like, tap dancing in the background. Who's that?
Sorry, that was my dog.
Was it? Tap dancing dog? Okay.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was a March-April game anyway.
You think so? Well, they haven't announced it at all.
I don't know why I thought that, but it makes sense.
Maybe. I hope it is. There. So then we have Summer, being codenamed Torte City, big budget, unannounced game for all gamers, core, all ages. And then we have Dragon Quest VII, which we already knew, and codenamed Cadillac, casual, friendly, smaller budget game late summer. So in other words, we have a basically like a gamer game and a casual game, in the summer sometime, which...
And then a hardcore RPG, again,
you call these codenames, and this is where the criticism of this leak really comes from, is like, okay, like, congratulations, you identified that sometime in the summer there's going to be an unannounced gamer's game and a previously announced game and a casual game. Like, that follows Nintendo's MO, so that it's almost like not news at that point. And then the final one, fall and holiday 3DS hardware price cut, which makes, like, okay. I don't know if that's, maybe. Do you feel like it needs a price cut?
Well, if we're also thinking NX is coming out, at least the portable version of NX, if anything, then yeah. I would expect 3DS to get a price cut at near the same time.
Mm-hmm. So there's the 3DS price cut. Codename N-Stars, big budget game for all ages. I said in our line chat, this is what we're talking about with, like, Super Smash Quest or whatever you want to call it, right? Like this is the amiibo game that people want. If this is real, that's what N-Stars sounds like to me. What do you guys?
I would think the amiibo game would be on the Wii U though. You think it would be on the 3DS?
I think they could potentially pull a Smash Brothers and put it on both. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think they could do that. I don't necessarily, if they were to do a full big amiibo game, it depends. It could be they say it's a big budget game for all ages. See, that's where I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's weird. You're right, though. I think an amiibo game would, because otherwise you've got to have an amiibo. You know what this actually says to me is this could be something that goes along with an amiibo line, and so they would want to have maybe a different game on, kind of like what they did with on Wii U, kind of like what they did with Animal Crossing, where they had the Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer game to work with the Animal Crossing cards, and then they also had the Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival to work with them on the Wii U, and so maybe we have different games that run with the same merchandise line. It's a possibility. And I think that this, again, being N-Stars, meaning, you know, basically the idea of, like, World of Nintendo or Smash Brothers, where it's like it's a wide variety of Nintendo characters, they're not going to limit themselves to a single franchise and have a line of a bunch of different characters, and you're able to have a game that you can use all of them in one game. I think, anyway, I think that's a really good idea. Totally speculation at this point, but Nintendo Selects Wave 2, codename DMW2, possibly Disney Magical World 2, which basically, wasn't that like a Disney version of Animal Crossing? I think.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just something I ignored.
Yeah. And then Dragon Quest VIII and Pokemon 20th Anniversary Game Niji, Japanese translation is Rainbow. Again, I'm not... and then wasn't there something else, Jesse, where it was like Zelda is guaranteed to be a crossover with NX or something?
Yeah, with it, there was a video talking about it, and the way that the guy talked in the video, they talked about Zelda NX as if it was a sure guaranteed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't an if about it. It was a yes. It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't know. Again, this is what happens when Nintendo doesn't give us real news, people.
People make up their own news.
People just make it up, and that's what we're going to do, Nintendo. So stop this and just give us real news, for goodness sakes. It's on Friday. Don't worry, people. It's on Friday. Okay. Next up, just a last little, anything else with that, guys? Like, what are your final thoughts on that leak?
Go ahead.
How do y'all rate that leak? Pretty likely or not likely?
I think it's about as likely as many of the other leaks that have been out before. It
obviously varies by line item.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff we already knew about. Nintendo Selects Wave 2. Yeah. Be interesting to know what games will be part of that. But of course, also being holiday season, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that one probably will happen.
Yeah. I feel like you could make this list by going and looking at the past several years of what kinds of games have been released at what time of year, and then make up a code name for most of them, and then just release it as a leak. And you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't tell us very much. I think that's my problem with it. Is it doesn't tell us anything other than, oh, there's going to be a price cut, which I don't think that I don't necessarily even know if they would know that yet. I don't know. Like, do they make those kinds of decisions this far in advance, or do they wait to see what the market is like? I don't know. Some of these things, especially in the later part of the year, too, I'm like, I don't know if that's actually a thing. I don't know. So, I would like to see Codename NSTARS be a thing, though, because that sounds like something I would really like. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the one thing on this leak that I really hope is true. But like you said, I mean, some of the code names, just like the first time I heard about this leak, I kind of believed it. And then now that we just kind of went over it slowly like that, I'm like looking at it. I don't know.
I know. I kind of feel
like you said, it's not really telling us anything other than a bunch of made up code names. So
yeah. It's like,
who knows?
I feel like it's like, I feel like that's always what kind of happens, is we get really excited and then we're like, oh, wait, this is like absolutely just fluff. I am now back to this state of, I wish Nintendo would actually tell me what's going on. I wish Nintendo would give me something to be excited about, because otherwise I'm getting excited over things that lack substance. Yeah, I don't know. But I hope that it's true, but I'm not convinced either. Right on. Finally, we're just going to quickly talk about Fire Emblem. It is the highest selling version, or the highest selling game in the franchise. Fastest selling, sure. With more than 300,000 units sold between all versions of Fire Emblem Fates during its launch weekend, the Nintendo 3DS strategy RPG earns a place in the record books as the fastest selling game in the history of the long running, critically acclaimed franchise in the United States. So that's just U.S. sales. The game sold more than five times as many units as 2013's Fire Emblem Awakening, the previous holder in the United States during its first 3 days of availability. 300,000 in the first 3 days, just in the U.S. That's pretty insane. And of course, I think we were saying before, it's not even necessarily that people are going out and buying multiple versions of the game, because you actually have an incentive to buy the other versions of the game as DLC in your regular version, right? In your first version. So this would, of course, include collector's editions and or the special edition or whatever it is that has all the versions on a single cart. But yeah, so that's pretty good. That bodes well. It's interesting, and I will get into it in a minute, but I definitely think it's interesting that they made some pretty specific changes to the Fire Emblem franchise with Awakening, and they embraced it even more with this version, and it seems to be paying off for them. So that's exciting. I'm a big fan so far. So neither of you are playing it, are you?
I'm not, no.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about it. Yeah. I've never played any of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I definitely am going to have things to say about it.
I'm kind of surprised that they didn't do what I thought they were going to do, where they put out like the demo, a demo, which would be like the first four or so chapters, you know, up until the point where you make the decision.
That's like five chapters. Yeah, that would have been smart, even if they just would have done the first couple. But
well, and then at that point it says make your decision, and then at that point it says, which game do you want to buy? Give me $40 and I'll give you that. Version.
See, that would have been really, you know, you're right. They said that before, and now that you say that, they should have done that. Yeah, it's interesting.
I would have tried it out. I would have actually tried it out.
I would have downloaded the demo and tried it, just like I tried Awakening a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I probably wouldn't have done past that, but at least, you know, I could say, yep, I tried it, and it confirmed that I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the reason why they probably didn't do a demo is because the mechanics of the game are almost identical to Awakening. Like, if you go and play the Awakening demo, you're getting the gist of the game, right? Like, it doesn't have the My Castle feature, but the rest of the game is pretty much the same. And so you can still go and download the Awakening demo, and if you like the Awakening demo, then get Fire Emblem Fates instead. Get Awakening.
Based on the story they set, it just makes sense that they would.
It makes so much sense. You're absolutely right. They should do that. I think
because I think the only people who actually legitimately have that choice are the people who bought the special edition. Because otherwise, depending on you bought Birthright or you bought Conquest, you've already decided.
Yeah. Yeah.
You decided without knowing it.
That's the thing, right? And that's the thing. I mean, we might as well. Here, I'm going to play this because we're kind of getting into it anyway. All right, so that's our bumper for what? Oh, that's our bumper for what we've been playing. I'm going to just start talking about Fire Emblem Fates right now. The thing about that, Jesse, that you were saying is the first five missions of the game. You choose your fate at level 6 or in mission 6. The first five missions of this game are basically like you spend a couple of missions with Nor, the kingdom of Nor, and then you spend a couple of missions with the kingdom of Hoshido. And at the end and in mission 6, then you decide where you want to go, right? And you choose your fate. And you are basically in buying one version of the other. There's a little thing in psychology and in medicine and in making any sort of, you know, life-altering decision, a little principle called informed consent, right? And in order, before you make
it, I thought you were going to go with placebo something, but
no, it's called informed consent, where you provide all of the information to a patient so that they can make the best choice possible for themselves. And this is Fire Emblem Fates does not provide you with informed consent. You do not give informed consent upon purchase of this game. Right. I think that's what you're saying about the idea of this demo version, right? Where you play through. In fact, I think the digital version in Japan is actually this way, where you buy the game and upon making your decision, it downloads either Birthright or Conquest, right? You basically say, I want to play this one. I think so that's how the digital version
makes so much sense,
right? But the problem being is that there's the flow of the game would be totally interrupted because it's like, okay, now we're going to download a gig worth of data, right? And so, or I guess really it wouldn't be that much because all the assets are pretty much the same in both versions. It's just the stories that are different. So like you download this version of the game, and then play through it, but it would interrupt the flow of the game.
The demo still could have been the entire game and you just download a 5K file saying which one to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you totally could do that. And so that is like the game does not provide informed consent when you purchase the game. I was very torn when that happened, but because I purchased Birthright, I went with, you know, with Hoshido. So that's true. I mean, it didn't bother me that bad. If anything, what it did was it made me it made me think, I think I'm actually going to play through Conquest, because that decision actually is a lot more interesting and intriguing than I thought from a story perspective. So I really liked it. I'm going to hit pause on this, because I think Justin gave his perspective. I'm going to pull up his thing here. Justin, of course, sent us a little voicemail clip for us all the way from across the pond. Justin is in Ireland, and he is going to give us a little bit of a thing. And before I do that, I'm even going to have a little bit of music from where Justin is in the land of the leprechauns. So, all right. So this is for Justin. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Justin from, well, the great country of Ireland. I've now been here for about, I think it's 4 days. It's been going fantastic, but, definitely time zones are a thing that happens. Anyways, I thought I'd let you guys know kind of what I've been doing and kind of provide my audio file. I have been playing on my flight over. I played Fire Emblem's Fate, and I got the birthright. So I guess I'll rewind a little bit. Last I left, we had a poll about whether I should get Fire Emblem Fates or Mega Man. And to let you know, by 12%, Fire Emblem Fates actually won out. However, because the voting was so close, there was obviously a large population of you that really wanted me to get Mega Man and review that as well. I have taken the plunge and I'm downloading that game as well. So I'll have some more reviews for Mega Man Legacy a little bit later. But this is really about Fire Emblem Fates. And I got the birthright one specifically. I find it's okay, but I will tell you, it has been a lot of chat. And that's kind of like, I just kind of want to get in. I just want to play. I just feel like I'm just drowning in dialogue and backstory. So I kind of hopefully that'll pick up. I'm only about two hours into it, 2.5 hours. So it's not too bad. But that's kind of what I've been playing. Sorry, got an alarm here that just went off. What else am I thinking for Nintendo stuff? The Pokemon Direct is coming up. I would love to know what you guys think of the Direct for the 27th. And guys, that's about it. That's my first week here in Ireland. Sorry I haven't been there, but Oh, and by the way, my Nintendo Dad swag showed up. So that's kind of exciting, but that's it. That's all, guys. I will talk to you real soon. Hopefully next week I'll have some more reviews of Mega Man Legacy. I may or may not. So we'll see. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Rest in peace.
All right. Justin, rest in peace. Agreed. So yeah, that's Justin. He's going to do that every week. So that should be fun.
VG Guru asks, how far are you in the game, Zach?
Let me see. What mission am I on? I think my save file says that I... Chapter 24, 23 hours into this game.
You know how many chapters are in the game?
I think 28. Wow. Yeah, I am I have had several... nights staying up very late, and man, it has consumed my life. It is so good. I'm seriously in love with this game. I loved Awakening, and to kind of talk about what Justin said about it being chatty, that is true, but I think that's part of what this game is. It is an RPG. It's like a strategy RPG, right? Like, you are going through this game. It is as much about absorbing the story as it is about doing the tactical sort of missions. And it's interesting because if you played Awakening, they have made some slight tweaks to the gameplay, that like the pairing system is a little bit different. There's more of an incentive now to, because in the previous game, you could basically pair your units up, and when they attacked, there was a chance that the partner that they were paired up with would attack at the same time. And sometimes you could have them both be, like, you could have them occupy a single square and pair them up, or you can have them stand side by side next to each other, and they would behave the same regardless. They would be paired up on the battlefield, regardless of if they were paired onto a single tile or if they were side by side. That's how it was in Awakening. This time, if they're side by side on the battlefield on two different squares, then they have an offensive boost. So there's a chance that they will attack. And if they're on the same square, then there's a defensive boost. And so there's a chance that your partner will protect your unit and that kind of thing. And so they've changed that up a little bit. The biggest thing that I've noticed about this game, though, is that it has become much like the in Awakening, they introduced this idea of the relationships between your characters and how you could marry your characters and that sort of a thing. They have dialed that up for your avatar up to 11. It's crazy. Jesse, I sent you some of the pictures. I was going to capture the audio for it, and I didn't do it. But basically, the idea was like this is like straight up waifu stuff, man. This is straight up dating simulator for part of it.
When he said in the chat that it was looking more like a dating sim, and I go, Zach found a waifu.
Oh, totally, dude. Yeah, my waifu. I have Orochi, the diviner. She's got some sexy purple hair. I don't know. It's crazy. It's interesting because basically in the Japanese version, it was even crazier, and I can see why they would tone it down. But basically in this game, once you marry somebody, it gets a whole, like at the end of the, in Awakening, you brought your relationship with a character up to S rank, then you marry them, then your child appears and whatever, and that's kind of where the relationship ends. It does not end there with your relationship with your character, specifically with the character that your avatar, your Corin, right? That relationship does not end there. You then can go to your private quarters in your castle, and that character that you have formed a relationship with is now in your private quarters anytime you go in there. And there is a new option called Bond, right? Which in other words is you, in the Japanese version, you would be able to, you would use the stylus and do the Pokemon Ami thing with your wife every single time, right? You would pet her face or whatever you would do and bond with them. In this version, basically, it will just have a little short voice clip with a zoomed in version on their face, and then it'll have like a thing. Like I think the what was the quote that I sent to the line chat, Jesse? It was something to the effect of, "Oh, it's time for my dessert," and then she'll like lean in with a kissy face and fade to white, and then, "Ooh, tasty."
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Like the amount of innuendo that goes into this, like they're not being like there's it's thick with innuendo, and especially for like the classic sort of dating sim waifu kid, whatever, you know, like this is what this is for, to the point where I'm like, there are people out there who are probably getting a lot more than they should probably be getting out of a video game with this. You know what I mean? Because it leaves so much to the imagination too, that it's enough there that you know exactly what they're talking about. She talks like she said to me too, like, I know there's a time for work and a time for play. And I'm just like, okay. like this is Fire Emblem. This is supposed to be about fighting samurai and stuff, but all right, that's cool.
Oddest pillow talk ever.
Oh, totally. That's exactly what it is, dude. And then you'll walk into your private quarters. There's a couple different things. There's the private quarters where you'll come in and she's like, "Oh, I just got out of the bath." And then it'll show her face, and her face is all flushed, and it's like, "Blow gently." And you blow the steam away, and she's like, "Ah." I'm like, "What is going on in this game?" But at the same time, having said all of that, and then there's also like the bathhouse, which you go in there. Like, I went into the bathhouse, and my avatar goes and sits down in the bath. It's like a hot spring, right? And I go in there, and all of a sudden, there's one of my sisters is in the bathhouse in the game. I think it was, like, Sakura or something. It was Sakura, which is, like, the younger sister. And she, like, gets up and, "Oh, siblings aren't supposed to bath together," and runs out. And I'm just like,
wow.
What the heck, game? Like, what is going on? But,
Yay, Japan.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, this is very Japanese. Having said all of that, though, the the relationships, like the part of what makes this relationship mechanic in the game so good is that it is, because it does, as creepy as it can be, it's also pretty sweet too. You know, like you do feel like there is some good connection, some emotional bond and connection between the characters. And it doesn't, and it, I think for as a mature adult, I am able to recognize what they're doing as capturing the sort of emotional intimacy that can come once you quote unquote reach S rank. You know what I mean? Like where there is actually a really nice sweet connection there that I think it does capture it well. Does it go too far? And maybe is a little bit, it could be potentially used for people who are all about that kind of thing, potentially. But I think that for what it is and for what they're trying to do, I think that it does capture that okay. And I think that it's a good introduction. The relationship / dating sim is a good addition to the Fire Emblem game, and it adds a lot of depth to it. So as for the combat, it's as good as it's ever been. You know, Jesse, I'd say it's even, you know, similar to, there are certain parts of Persona 4 where you're like, is this game going too far? You know what I mean? And you end up, and it ends up still being really sweet almost in the way that they do it.
I don't remember Persona 4. I ever having the feeling that it's going over a line that it shouldn't be crossing.
Like there was a bath, like again, not that it's just the fact, like the bathhouse in general, like just the concept of a bathhouse.
No, that's pretty much a Japanese trope at this point.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it pretty much shows up in every anime.
Right. And so it's just, it's interesting because it's making its way into a Nintendo game and making it. Yeah. I think that it's just something that for a lot of, North American, consumers may be something, especially if they're not used to anime, it's something that they may not be ready or prepared, or at least they won't be anticipating it.
What's the game rated?
That is an excellent question. I think it's rated teen. It's not like there's any nudity or anything, right? Like I'm pretty sure it's rated teen. Yeah. Teen. Yeah. Teen for
animated blood, fantasy violence, suggestive themes.
Suggestive themes. There you go. Which is a very vague way of saying.
So it's probably balancing that line between T and M, but just didn't quite cross it.
Yeah, it's like, well, and you know what? Maybe, actually, that's a really good point, Jesse. Maybe part of the reason why Skinship, which is the Pokemon Ami version, maybe part of the reason why Skinship is removed is for rating reasons. Do you think that it would push it over the edge? Do you think it would have in North America? Do you think they would have rated it as mature?
Depending on how innuendo it actually got.
Ooh, tasty.
Right.
Exactly, right? I think that there's definitely a...
Because I'm thinking back to other games that, you know, were rated M that, Phoenix Wright 5.
Yeah.
That had a rated M mainly just because they had more blood than normal on its background stills.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't think it was anything weird about anything else other than just blood.
Yeah.
Because normally in those games, they don't show the blood. They just show dead people.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's Fire Emblem Fates. I have purchased Conquest. So as soon as I'm done Birthright, I'm going straight into Conquest. And basically they let you start over from the branch point, or the branch of Fates, so you don't have to play the first five chapters again. You literally create a new Corrin, and they let you create a new one, which is nice. So I've created a new character, and I'm going to have a female.
You'll get two fresh save slots. You'll actually have up to four, right?
Well, each time you purchase a branch, you get three save slots. So I have six total right now.
Oh, three. Okay, so you can get up to nine if you buy...
Yeah.
Once you buy Revelation.
Revelation, yeah. So that is Fire Emblem Fates. Right on. Cass, why don't you go ahead next? What have you been playing, good sir?
Okay, I've frantically been playing Ocarina of Time, the 3DS version. frantically because I'm getting Twilight Princess when it comes out for the Wii U. So I don't want to be playing two Zelda games at the same time. I really don't like doing that with Zelda. So I'm almost done. I'm at the Spirit Temple, I think. So
it's near the end.
I don't have a lot of time to play ever. So I mean, I should have enough time though to finish it before then. And I started it a while ago. I got the game probably like close to a year, and just been playing other things and just every now and then. Cause I mean, I've played the game before, so, I'm sure if it was the first time I ever played it, I would have finished it a long time ago. But so I really want to get to the end. Cause I kind of forgot a lot of the game. So yeah, just trying to hurry up with that. And then, other than Ocarina of Time, I'm really not playing anything that new other than still playing Super Mario Maker. Eli, fan of Nintendo Dads, I think I've rage quit Super Mario Maker because of that guy. I can't beat any of his level. And then I made him a level, but you know, thinking it would be, I tried to make it like, usually my levels that I make in Super Mario Maker aren't really hard. I just like to make like a classic type level. I try to make them like it would be in an actual Mario game. He makes really hard puzzles. So I tried to make kind of like a mix between his kind of level and mine and made it really hard, and he beat it very quickly. So that kind of made me mad. So my goal in Super Mario Maker is to beat one of Eli's damn levels. He told me how to beat one and I still didn't beat it. So,
that's awesome,
Eli, if you're listening.
Screw you, Eli.
I hate you. No, I don't hate him. Yeah,
nice.
But right, yeah, on, man. So yeah, I won't take up too much time talking about my games because there are games that we probably talked about a lot already. Cool. On this show.
Right on. What about you, Jesse? What have you been playing?
All right, so as I hinted at last week, I did start playing through Final Fantasy 12.
Right.
On PS2. I got about 7 hours in, and I got to the point where I opened up the Gambit system, which I remember really liking. It's kind of like a starting point of where the battle system that led into Final Fantasy 13 kind of gets roots from, where the characters you're pretty much just set to auto battle. And they'll auto cast spells, and they kind of do things based on whatever role you give. But in the Gambit system, you're writing a little mini computer program or a script to teach the AI how you want it to behave.
Okay.
And I don't know if a lot of people like that, but me as a computer programmer, remember I liked Human Resource Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the few people who did. So that's, I really like that aspect of the game. So I have my party set up where, my main party, so I control Vaughn, the leader of the party. So he has a program that says, as you get near a monster, auto-target it and start fighting.
Hmm.
Then everyone else says, if the party leader targets a monster, target the same monster and start fighting.
Okay.
And then as I learn more spells, I can just say auto cast protect, auto cast shell. And as soon as the spell wears off, it'll be recast automatically without having to do anything. And you get pieces of more options are available to you in the Gambit system. The more you play, like you literally find them in treasure chests or as loot for bosses. It's kind of weird, but I know at some point, I don't have it yet, but at some point I get when an ally falls, so then I can say, all right, use a Phoenix down, or actually use the resurrection spell once I learn that. So you can get really detailed with programming your party. And I remember later in the game, there's this dragon that literally has like a million hit points, and it takes like 2 to 3 hours to kill. And if it wasn't for that Gambit system, I probably would have never took it down. I think I let it auto run while I did other things in the game, just playing itself, knocking out this dragon.
Right. Wow. Right on, dude.
All right, so but I'm now that you know this was a $100 game, and I'm nowhere near that dragon. I'm still on hour 7, but so I'll be poking at that a while, and then I also went back to Paper Jam and finally got past that boss I was stuck on with the Bowser Juniors, and just as I predicted, it has me backtracking to back to the start, and I've got to start traversing lands that I've already done. But it is giving it another twist, because by changing up the lands that I'm re-traversing, that to make me take alternate paths that I didn't have the ability to take before. So it isn't completely boring yet. But
ringing endorsement. It's not completely boring yet.
I say yet because, you know, just most of the other type, you know, Mario and Luigi games have a level of backtracking that's just filler time. It's not really exciting. It's just something you have to do to get to the end.
Right. Right on, dude. Sweet. Well, with that, I think we should head into listener mail, shall we?
Bye.
Right on. And of course, you can send us listener mail and all that jazz just over to nintendodads@gmail.com and all that business. I'll read it this week. This is from Chris. It says, "Hey dads, nostalgia is a big influence for gamers. What I want to know is how you feel budget plays a role in young gaming. I remember playing the heck out of games because I only got one or two a year, as opposed to these days when we spoil ourselves a little. Mole Mania is a game I played through because it was a bargain when I was younger. When I bought it on Virtual Console, I wondered how I ever played it. I believe the answer is that's what I had to play, so that's what I played. Thanks again, Chris." Yeah, I think that's part of it. Do you think this? I think that's definitely, as a kid looking back, that's the case, right? Like, I didn't get a new game very often as a kid. My question is, and maybe Jesse, you're more able to answer this than I am, but is this still true for today's kids, I guess, is my question. Because I definitely think that there's a consensus that kids played whatever games kids had back then, but I wonder if that's still the case.
I think most families, maybe, especially, if the parents aren't gamers like we are, and while their kids are the first gamers of their families.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, since obviously I keep up with everything, I know what's going on, and so I buy myself a lot of stuff, and the kids end up just getting a lot of stuff just as a side effect of it.
Yeah.
So they're definitely not limited to one or two games a year. Though my son will play one or two games a year, it seems like. All he plays is Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But definitely has access to many more than that.
I wonder if that might have part of it as well, right? Like, there's something to be said for the fact that kids can latch onto a game and play it more, right? Like, my son got Pokemon X for Christmas. He can't read that well, but he's been making he has 4 badges now, and I haven't really helped him all that much, right? Like, he's got a pretty strong team in that game, and he loves just playing that game just to grind. And I think that there's something to be said as well for a child's ability to play through a game and have fun, and that it is fun just to be doing it. And even if, like, I remember this game that I had for Genesis, I don't even remember what it was called, but it was some like dungeon crawler game, like a top down dungeon crawler labyrinth type game. And in retrospect, that game was terrible, but it was like, it was totally unfair and super luck based, but I played it all the time anyways. And I think that to a certain extent too, I think kids can play that kind of thing just because they don't necessarily know any better. They don't know that it's a bad game. And so there's something to be said for that too. It's like kids, where you get a bunch of adults in a room and tell them to play musical chairs, and they're going to look at you like, what? You know, but But you could you could potentially have a lot, like a bunch of kids having playing musical chairs are going to have a blast. So I wonder if part of that is there too. I don't know. Cass, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up the same way. Just only a few games a year. And even if it wasn't good, I had nothing else to play. So I would play it. Looking back, you know, same thing. I've went back to games and they ended up, I remember them being so good and they just suck. But also a thing, with today, it's also a lot easier with online shops, you know, like the eShop or Xbox, whatever, and PlayStation, they all have it where you can just buy it from, you know, I do that now. I'm lazy. I rather have the actual disc, but a lot of the times I'm bored. I have the money. I'll just buy it, right? You know, like back in the day, we didn't have that either. So
yeah,
that's for older people, I would say. But
yeah, I just
kids aren't going to have a credit card.
Yeah, I just black out, and then all of a sudden I have Xenoblade Chronicles 3D on my 3DS. Right.
It just jumped into cart.
I know. I just blacked out and all of a sudden I had a new game and I was like, well, I might as well play it.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, you know, who are probably in their upper 20s or 30s now, you know, would have been in a situation where they were limited to one or two games a year. And I've actually never really been in that case because, you know, I think I got my NES when I was in eighth grade. And in ninth grade, I had a job.
Yeah.
I could buy what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I myself have never been in this situation. But yeah. I know a lot of people younger than me, I know, probably have.
Yeah. Jesse would go and like trade in his chips from the quarry that he earned working alongside Fred Flintstone.
And yabba dabba do.
Right on. There's another question in the chat here. Sorry, Cass, were you going to say something else?
Oh, I was just going to real quick. Also with me, I had two brothers. So if you have more siblings, sometimes you can get more games. So I grew up with like the regular Nintendo or the NES and the Super Nintendo. And so like we would all pretty much ask for a game for our birthdays and all, you know, if one of us got a game, we all got the game pretty much. So,
yeah.
You know, I got more than usual than my friends probably because of that. Not that I was getting them for my parents weren't spoiling me like that, but it was just because, you know, both of my brothers were getting games. So we all, you know, we weren't going to ask for the same game, obviously.
Right.
So that's something, too.
I had friends who would have brothers that literally would not share. So if they wanted the game that they had, they still had to buy their own copy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So good to know that your family was sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. There's also a question in the chat here we can answer real quick. This is from Eli. Eli. Eli is in the chat.
Damn you, Eli.
Eli in the chat say, listener mail, I remember when I got a Wii U, I remember thinking this gamepad will be sweet. For a Star Fox, I don't know why people are worried about the controls in Star Fox Zero. What are your thoughts? I think people are worried that they will be forced to use the motion controls. I don't necessarily think the motion controls will be good or bad. I just think that if they have if they have put all of their chips on motion controls, then they have to really pull it off. And so if they don't pull it off, I think that's what people are worried about. People don't want to be forced to use motion controls because not everybody likes motion controls. It's kind of like, I feel it's probably going to be, in the situation of Splatoon, I think you don't necessarily need to use motion controls. And I think that's a way to do motion control right, where really the motion controls in Splatoon are the best way to play that game. But if you don't like them, you can kind of use the regular controls. Star Fox seems like because they use that second screen, you may be forced to use motion controls and you may not want to. So I think that's the concern.
Last time IGN got to play it, they talked about it on their podcast, the Nintendo Voice Chat, and they said that there is an option to not do it. But okay. That was a while ago.
Yeah, so, I think I remember that too.
And in general, I have a hard time trying to do two separate things at the same time. Like if you played StarCraft, you're doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'm lousy at that. So if I have to look at one screen to fly in one direction and then look at another screen to shoot in another direction at the same time,
yeah,
I pr- probably would not be a very pleasant experience for
me. And I don't like the idea of having the TV, like as cool as a tech demo as it might be, to have the TV have this cool cinematic view and then have the gamepad be a viewfinder. I'm playing a console game because I want to play it on my TV. If I wanted to play it on the gamepad, I would play my 3DS.
It's like the Kirby Rainbow game.
Yeah, it's exactly.
A beautiful screen on the TV, but you're spending all your time looking at the gamepad.
And if they do want you to look at the gamepad, then give me a gamepad that has a good screen on it. You know what I mean? Like, the gamepad screen is not that great. I would like to have a nice, crisp display, if that's what they're going to do.
NX.
Yeah, NX. Come on, Nintendo. So, right on. Well, thank you, Eli. And Chris, thank you for your emails. And your questions. Right on. Of course, we're going to wrap up a little bit with a little bit of business and such. First off, thanks to Cass Lush from NintendoNuggets.com and Gaming Docs on YouTube. Dude, it's been great having you on the show.
Thank you, man. I'm always glad to come on. This is my second time. Yeah, so just thank you so much for having me and let me do this with you.
Yeah, it's been great having you on, man. Thanks again. As well, next week we've got, just as a reminder to everybody who's been playing Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3 on the Wii U Virtual Console from Game Boy Advance, we are doing our Retro Rewind. We're recording that episode next week, as well as we will have Marty from Reactor Radio on the show to discuss all of the goodness. We'll be debriefing the Pokemon Direct, of course, then. The week after that, Dave Moore from Character Crunch will be on the show. And the week after that, fingers crossed, we're going to have Josh Thomas and Rogers Base on the show potentially at the same time. The streams will be crossed at that point. I don't know. It's going to be crazy. So that is a thing. Of course, if you want to go over to 1UP Box, we've got to deal with 1UP Box. You can use the code Nintendo Dads, and we'll get a little bit of goodness sent our way, so you can support the show that way as well, and all that goodness. So, right on. Anything else? Am I missing anything else, or should I just start playing some music and start playing this out here?
Well, I wanted to do a little plug.
Yeah, go for it.
Last week, Justin and I guest hosted the Nintendo Podcast System.
Yes.
Which is another podcast on the VG Tribune family of podcasts.
It is. Which is apparently, no, I listened to that, actually.
There's apparently three podcasts now hosted by VG Tribune.
Oh, there's another one. That's right. There's like a main gaming show. We should get those guys.
Yeah, Zach O'Neill started 1UP. And I think he's had three episodes.
Yeah, we should get those guys on.
Yeah, I think we're aiming toward that once Justin's back and everything settles down again.
Right on, dude. Cool. Well,
I just helped them get everything ready so they can start submitting into iTunes.
Yeah. So, and if you guys want to check out that episode, you can find N Podcast System, and that's what where you guys guest hosted, right?
Yes. And one of the things they do, and when they have their guests pick the songs, is they open up with a song of someone's choosing, and they end the song with a song of someone's choosing.
Nice.
So Justin picked the entry and I picked the exit. And of course, you know, Justin had to think a little bit about what to do, where I'm like, yep, I know exactly what track I want.
Yep.
I can email it to you if you need it.
Right on, dude. Well, yeah, everybody go check that out. Of course, thank you to everybody who is a patron over at patreon.com/NintendoDads. If you want to follow us with all of the social media business, if you want to wow or love our Facebook posts, you can now, with thanks to Facebook's new features, which are controversial, apparently. I don't know. Anyways,
you can sad and anger them if you want to.
Yes, you can. So Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. Email us, NintendoDads@gmail.com. You can go over to Twitch or YouTube and find Nintendo Dads over there. And if you want to go to youtube.com/C/NintendoDads/live on Wednesday nights, you can watch us live as we record the show. And that's the thing. So you can call in and leave us a voicemail and wake up poor Dolores at the phones at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. If you want to buy some sweet Nintendo Dads merchandise, go to tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore, all lowercase. Big thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson for our amazing artwork. For more of her work, go to megacarter.tumblr.com.
And in the merch store, you can choose between Carter Johnson's work or Adam Lenhart's work.
That's right. And Adam Lenhart's work as well. He told me today, just send people over to Mega Dads, and you can find him there. I think it's megadads.org. Is that right? Let's find that. Megadads.org.
Yep. Megadads.org.
Yep. So go over there for more of Adam Lenhart's work as well. And huge thanks to him. That art over there is sweet. So check that out. Of course, if you want to change the world, ladies and gentlemen, which I know you do, of course, go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. Gets us in people's ear holes, which is what everybody needs in their life. Of course, you can download us and subscribe over at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, for the missing Justin, and for Cass, see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dad.